Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erechin Daf Chof Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins from the Mishnah that you will find on the second wide line of Daf Chof Hei. Hamakdish sodehu b'shas hayoyvel, one who sanctifies his stei achuzo, that's an inheritance field, a field that one received through inheritance, father to son, all the way back in time, to the time of Yehoshua entering the land and dividing it. That's a stei achuzo. So one who sanctifies his field during the time that the yovel is counted and is in practice. Nosein bezera chomer sa'oirim chamishim shekel kesef. That is a reference to the Torah redemption rate, which is based on an area known as a base kor. That's a given size. The word chomer is an area called a kor. It's the area in which you could plant that amount of seed, a kor worth of seed. The Torah redemption rate is 50 shekel kesef, regardless of the actual market value of the field. It's a Torah redemption rate based on area. So that when the yovel is in practice, when it's something that's counted and there are different conditions for yovel to be in practice, nowadays, so yovel is not in practice, but in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, before the exile set in, the exile of the Jewish people actually occurred in stages. So before the exile set in, we say that's the time that the Yovel was in practice. So the Torah rate of redemption is, as we said, 50 shekel kesef per base core of land. If there were ditches, 10 tfochim deep, 10 hand breadths in depth, or protrusions of land, stone protrusions, 10 tfochim in height, einon nimdodin imo, they are not measured together with the land. In fact, those sections are redeemed at market value. They don't have this Torah redemption rate. Pochos mikan, if the depth or height of these differentials is less than 10 tfochim, nimdodin imo, then it's considered part of the land and the measuring includes them in it. Hekdisha shtayim v'sholosh shonim lifnei hayovel, if one sanctifies his land 2 or 3 years before the yovel year, then what's the redemption rate? No saint sela upunyon lishona. By the way, these are things that have been mentioned on numerous times during our learning of earlier dapim. Here, of course, the Mishnah is telling us that which we already know, that the per year redemption rate is a sela and punyon, namely the 50 shekel that was mentioned. Shekel and sela are interchangeable terms. The 50 sela or shekel rate that was mentioned before is for one who dedicated a field at the beginning of a yovel cycle. The yovel cycle is a 50-year cycle. So that if one dedicated at the beginning of the yovel cycle, since exclusion of the yovel year, you're dealing with a 49-year period, the 50th year being yovel. The 49 years, if you do 49 times a sela and punyon, you come out to 50 sela plus a punyon, but you come out to basically using the round number, 50 sela. Hence, the per year redemption rate is a sela and punyon. So that in the example of the Mishnah, if you're 2 or 3 years, if you're 2 years before the next yovel, so it would have remained in the Rishus of Hegdish for 2 years, each year a sela and punyon, so you would have to give the Beis HaMikdash two sela and two punyon for the redemption of the field. V'im omar hareini noisein davar shana b'shana ein shomin lo. If the redeemer, the owner who wants to redeem his field, says, "I'll pay on a per year basis," we don't listen to him. Ela nosin es kulo ke'echod. Rather, he has to pay the redemption in a lump sum. Echod bailim ve'echod kol odam. The redemption can be done by the owner, the one who originally sanctified his field. The redemption can also be done by some outsider who notices that this field, a particular field, is in the domain of Hekdesh, and he wants it for himself, so he can redeem it. Ma bein bailim l'chol adam. What's the difference in terms of redemption between the owner and anyone else? Ela shebailim noisnim chomesh. The owner, when he comes to redeem, he adds a fifth. The chol odom ein noisnin chomesh, but any outsider who redeems it, he doesn't add a fifth. There are other differences between owner redemption and outsider redemption, but here the Mishnah is focusing on the redemption rate. Tana, the Gemara opens up with a brisa focusing on the issue of the kur size, kur zera velo kur tvua. When we say a base kur, it's a measurement in terms of seed, the amount of seed that is called a kur worth of seed. It's a measure, velo kur tvua, and not a measure of grains that are harvested, of harvested grain. What that would mean, an area, a field, from which you could harvest a kur worth of grain. Now, that area, it would be much smaller than the area in which you could plant a kur worth of seed. One seed produces numerous seeds in growth, so that when we're talking about the area that a kur worth of seed could be seeded, that is a much larger area than the area of field in which a kur worth of grain could be harvested. And since we're talking about seeding, mapolis yad velo mapolis shvorim. Mapolis yad is the area seeded by hand, as opposed to the area seeded by a cart drawn by shvorim or oxen. Loosely speaking, we could say the area manually seeded versus an area seeded by machine. In other words, the area seeded by hand will in fact be a much larger area, because when you're seeding by hand, so you're putting just one seed, so to speak, into one spot. Whereas when you're seeding in an automated, or what we call semi-automated fashion, with the oxen drawing a container having a hole in it in which seeds fall out, so a much larger amount of seed will fall in any given spot than if you were seeding it by hand, so that the core worth of seeds will be used up much faster than if you're seeding it by hand. Tony Levy. Levy has a Tanaic source in describing how much seed is basically dropped in each spot. Lo me'abeh, not a lot. Velo medak, and not a very fine, small amount. Elo beinoni. Rashi on this, on the lower part of the narrow lines, Rashi says, Tono ein misharin bezera me'ube shehu hefsedo shel podet. We don't make an evaluation when we're calculating size based on an area which is heavily seeded, because that way the one who comes to redeem will be losing out. In other words, a smaller amount of area would have been categorized as a base core, so that he's going to pay money for redeeming, again, a smaller area of land. The lo bezera meidak, Rashi goes on, shu hefsid the hektish, davi base kur gadol. If it's going to be a very, very finely seeded area, so it's going to be a much larger area covered, and the base hamikdash is losing, so to speak, a large piece of land for the 50 redemption rate. Ela bezera bzria beinunis, rather an average type of seed density. Continuing in the Gemara, Hoyusham Nikoyim Amukim, the Mishnah had mentioned if there are ditches or outcroppings of 10 tfachim, so they are not counted as part of the field, and hence they are redeemed at market value as opposed to Torah rate value. Question. This question lasts a few lines. You can see we have a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. And we should point out that we have an introductory note to this section called the Nosei. You see in the outside margin the Nosei, which is a topic heading. And we, in our Shas Ozer Gemara markings, Shas Ozer, which is the Shas that appears on your screen, we feature title headings and structural notes that we call Mivneh from time to time. In this case, we've written Eich Misharim Shetach HaBeis Kur She'olov Poideh B'Shiur Chamishim Shekel Kesef. How is the calculation made? And so we've already started this discussion. We could have read this introductory note a few lines earlier, but we're continuing in how we make this calculation of the base kur, and now we're dealing with ditches and outcroppings. And the question is, the Gemara asks, V'likdishu be'anpi nafshayu, why are they not considered sanctified in and of themselves? And even if you want to say so, they're not measured as part of the land because these are ditches or outcroppings, but couldn't they be measured the area of these outcroppings and ditches by themselves and offer the Torah redemption rate as opposed to what we said market value? You might want to say that since they don't amount to a base kur, we're dealing with smaller areas, ditches and outcroppings that don't amount to a base kur in size, so they don't become sanctified. Well, that's not true. The Hotanya, we have a Tanaic source which will tell us that sanctification of inheritance fields takes hold and on even units less than a kur in size. The source says sodeh, which is a quote from the pasuk. Ma tamad lomar, what do I gain by having the word sodeh in the pasuk? The fishinemar, since it says zera choimer soirim b'chamishim shekel kesef, which means an area of a base kur is redeemed at the 50 shekel rate. I would think that the Torah rate applies only if he was makdish this way, namely a full base kur. Minayin l'rabois lesech. From where do I know to include situations where he sanctified a lesech, which is a half kur, the chatzi lesech or half a lesech area, sa'ah, which is a much smaller area. There are 30 sa'ah in a base kur. The tirkav is half a sa'ah, it's 3 kav. The chatzi tirkav and half of that. That all of these smaller and smaller areas, if one were to sanctify them, they would take on the same law. Talmud Lomar, Sodeh, Mikomokom, the Torah uses the word Sodeh, a field, regardless of the size. So the question comes back, why is it that the Mishnah says when it comes to outcroppings and ditches, that they are not viewed as small areas of inheritance field, thereby gaining the Torah redemption rate? And of course, divided accordingly. If a base kur is 50 shekel, so a 50th of a base kur would be 1 shekel. Of course, 1 shekel per year for that subunit of land. When we say 1 shekel per year, really, that's not accurate. We have to say that a little more accurately. It would be 1 shekel for the 50 year period, 49 years more technically speaking, and then you would divide that on that amount per year that is left till the next Yovel. Stated simply, why is it that we're not looking at these rock outcroppings or ditches as small inheritance fields? So the Gemara answers, Omar Mar Ukvar Bar Chama, Hocha B'Nikoyim Le Mayim. We're talking here about ditches that are filled with water, Delav B'Nei Zriya Ninhu. They're not capable of being planted. And the Torah, when speaking about redeeming inheritance fields, we were talking about redeeming agricultural, arable inheritance fields. The Pasuk mentioned Zera Chomer Saorim, an area in which you could plant. So it has to be something arable. If it's filled with water, so it's not. Daiko nami dekotoni dumi deslam. How do I know that the ditches are filled with water? Because the Mishnah teaches the ditches together with an example of rock outcroppings, not hilly land. Hilly land is arable. Rock outcroppings are as they are, rock. You can't plant on them. So shmamino, this shows us that the reason that the ditches are non-arable, and hence they don't follow the Torah redemption rate, which speaks about something that can be cultivated. If that be the case, that the ditches and outcroppings are simply non-arable, then why does the Mishnah feature 10 tvachim? Even if they're less than 10 tvachim, they shouldn't be counted together, they shouldn't be measured together with the land. The Gemara answers, Hano nagani da'ara mikru, shidri da'ara mikru. These, less than 10 tvachim, either ditches or rock outcroppings, have hyphenated terms, and part of their name is the land. So they're part of the land. Nagani da'ara are cups. In other words, ditches are like a cup, so to speak. They're something that contain. They can water can be filled into it, so that when it's a minor depression, it's just considered like the cup of the land. Or when it's an outcropping, it's called here the spine of the land. Like when you have an animal who walks on all four, its spine is at its top, and it has made of vertebrae with that protrude, and hence the term here that the rock outcroppings, if they're less than 10 tefachim, are simply called the spine of the land. For our purposes, the main point is it's a hyphenated expression. But it's part of the land. It's not viewed as a separate entity, and hence they're included in the Torah redemption rate. Hikdisho shtayim v'sholosh v'chulei. The Mishnah mentioned that if one dedicated the land 2 or 3 years before the Yovel, so there's a per year redemption rate per base kur of Sela and Punyon. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that speaks about this per year redemption rate. It says v'nigra me'erkecha. Nigra has to do with subtraction, and that's what we mean by this subtraction formula, the per year rate. V'nigra me'erkecha, it's subtracted from the 50 sela. Af min ha'hegdish shim ochlo hegdish shona o shtayim. This subtraction rate applies to redeeming from, even from Hekdesh. We'll look at Rashi momentarily, and it points out in the source that if the Hekdesh used it for 2 or 3 years, and now it used it just for a couple of years, you can redeem it from Hekdesh. Inami loy ochlo elo shoy silafonav. Even if Hekdesh didn't cultivate the field while it was in the Hekdesh, in the Beis HaMikdash possession, that the Beis HaMikdash didn't take advantage, didn't use the field, this rate still applies. No sein sela upunyon lishana. You will still pay a sela and punyon. We mentioned before, punyon is a 48th of a sela, per year left till the next Yovel, per base kur. Let us glance at the Rashi. In the wide lines, Rashi af min ha'hekdesh, dechihechi demigra be'oison shonim she'omdo biyado, just like had a person, let us say, not dedicated a field whatsoever immediately as at the beginning of the new Yovel cycle, but rather he waited a few years and then dedicated it. When figuring the redemption rate after such a situation, so he will subtract the number of years that have passed already, in order to calculate how much he would need to pay for its redemption. So just like when the field sits in his own possession, the owner's possession, before he dedicates it, subtraction is made for the number of years that have passed. Hochinami, Rashi goes on, here too, in the case that he sanctified it, let's say at the beginning of a Yovel cycle, migra machmas oisin shonim shom debiad hekdish mishas hekdish ad shas pidyon. We will subtract the number of years that the field sat in the possession of hekdish until he decides to redeem it. So passage of time, the clock starts ticking away when calculating number of years that have passed since it was in his, since the last Yovel, whether it is in the owner's own possession or in the possession of the Beis Hamikdash. Turning back to the Gemara, the Im Omar Hareini no saying, if he says he wants to pay on a per year basis, pay year by year for its redemption, the Mishnah says he can't do that. Tona Rabbanon, here's a brisa that elaborates on this point, and our little no say heading here reads on the outside margin, Pidyon boilios bevas achas velo shana b'shana. The redemption that's paid must be in a lump sum in one payment and not a year by year payment. So we have a Tanaic source that reads, Minayin shim omru bailim harenu noisnim dovor shana b'shana she'ein shomim lehem. From where do I know that if the owner says, I want to pay on a year-by-year basis, this year pay a little bit and enjoy it, enjoy the redemption, the field for a year, and then next year pay again, and then, or on an installment basis, how do we know that you can't do that? You can't redeem on an installment basis. Talmud Lomar v'chishav loy hakoyin es hakesef. That's the pasuk. Ad she kesef kulo keechod. Since the pasuk says hakesef, it's an indication that all the kesef, all the money, must be together. Echod bailim v'echod kol adam. Redemption applies to the original owner and it applies to anyone else. Ma bein bailim l'chol adam. What's the difference between the redemption rate when it comes to an owner versus anyone else? Answer: Sha bailim noisnim chaimesh v'chol adam ein noisnim chaimesh. The owner, the bailim, the owner pays a fifth, adds a fifth to the rate, and the anyone else from the public, they just pay the basic redemption rate without adding a fifth. Of course, when we say redemption rate, we're talking about the Torah-based redemption rate, not market value. The Mishnah. Before we look at the Mishnah, the topic heading that we have for this section reads, Shinui Hadin, there'll be a change in law, or a variation in law, Lefi Zehus Hapoda, dependent on the identity of who is doing the redemption. The Mishnah, Hikdisha v'goala, if a person had redeemed a field and then redeemed it, Eino yoitze miyodo biyovel, it doesn't leave his possession when the yovel comes around. Maybe a word or two about the arrival of a yovel year. When a person, let us say, sells a field, so when yovel comes, if he sold his redemption field to a commoner, so it goes back, the field is returned to the original owner who had inherited it from his forebears, it's returned to him upon the arrival of the yovel year. If a person sanctified an inheritance field and he did not redeem it upon the arrival of the yovel year, so we will see this concept of the field being distributed to the kohanim that are serving at the time that the yovel year enters. In other words, the owner doesn't get it back if he didn't redeem it at the arrival of the yovel year. But here our Mishnah is saying if a person had sanctified a field and did redeem it, so he keeps it. It doesn't leave his possession upon the arrival of the yovel year. One shouldn't think that just because he did a one-time sanctification of it, that means that's the end of it for him as far as the yovel is concerned. Not true. If he redeemed it after he sanctified it, provided he redeemed it before the arrival of the yovel year, that will ensure his keeping it after the yovel. Goala benoi, let's say the owner himself did not redeem it, but his son redeemed it. So the son is now holding onto the field. The yovel arrives. What happens? Yoytze l'oviv biyovel. It leaves the son's possession and goes back to the father. However, goalo acher o echod mehakroivim v'goalo miyodoi. Let us say someone else other than the individual's son, someone else, an outsider, or even one of the owner's relatives, even if it's a close relative, we'll see, even if it's his brother, happens to redeem the field. When the yovel comes, it leaves the possession of the one who redeemed it. And Yoytze LeKohanim BeYovel. And it then goes to the Kohanim who are serving in the Beis HaMikdash at the time the Yovel arrives. So let's read that again. The Gimel, it says, the Gimel that we have is the third case of the third example of the Mishnah. Go'alo Acher O Echad Me'akroivim VeGo'alo Miyado. We have to add a critical point that we didn't mention, that after one of these outsiders or relatives redeemed it from the Beis HaMikdash, and the owner himself then bought it from the Redeemer. The Redeemer in this case had been an outsider or even his own brother, and now the owner himself buys it from the Redeemer. It's Yoytze LeKohanim BeYovel. It goes to the Kohanim in the Yovel, which is quite an interesting point here, that even though when the Yovel arrives, the field is in the possession of the original owner, he does not keep it. And why is that? Because he himself was not the redeemer from the Beis HaMikdash, nor was his son. So as a result of that, even though the original owner is holding on to it at this point, it goes, at this point, meaning upon the arrival of the Yovel, it's distributed amongst the Kohanim. Go'alo Echod min HaKohanim, this is a fourth example, where one of the redeemers, the redeemer was one of the Kohanim. The redeemer of the field was a Kohen, V'harei hi tachas yodoi, and upon the arrival of Yovel, the Kohen is holding on to the field. Loy Yoimar, he shall not reason as follows. Before we read the Mishnah, he shouldn't claim the field entirely for himself, being that he is a Kohen. Lo Yomar, he should not say, Hoyel v'hi yoytze l'keihanem b'yovel, since, in general, fields that have been sanctified are distributed amongst the Kohanim, upon the arrival of the Yovel year, Farehi tachas yodi, and right now it's in my possession, and I'm a Kohen. Harehi shali, therefore I will keep the entire field. Elo, what does happen? Yoytze mitachas yodo mischalechis l'chol echov hakohanim. The field leaves the possession of this Kohen, the Kohen that had redeemed it originally, and it's then distributed amongst all of the Kohanim that are serving in the Beis HaMikdash at that time. We now continue on Amud Beis. The top of Amud Beis, we see a Tanaic source, but before we learn the Gemara, we will look at the Nosei, the topic heading that you see in the outside margin, the Nosei, Im Benoi Poda, if a person's son, the redeemer's, the sanctifier's son, the original owner's son, redeems the field. Eino yoytza l'kohanim biyovel. It is not distributed amongst the kohanim. Rather, it goes back to the father. Masha'enkin im ochiv poda, as opposed to if the sanctifier's father redeemed it, the sanctifier's brother. If the sanctifier's brother redeemed it, then yoytze, then it does get distributed amongst the Kohanim. Before learning the Gemara, we have a pasuk that will be relevant, quote, written on the side, the inside margin of the Gemara, and it says, "Vayikur chav zayin pasuk chav." The pasuk says, "V'im lo yigal es hasodeh." If the field is not redeemed, "V'mochar es hasodeh liish acher." And the field were sold to another person. Lo yigal od, it's not redeemed anymore. V'hoi hasod b'tzeisa b'yovel kodesh l'Hashem, the field when it leaves in the yovel, it leaves the possession of that redeemer. It's considered holy. K'stei acherim l'koyin tiachuzos, just like a stei acherim. Cherim is a type of donation, and those donations go to Kohanim. So to this inheritance field will be distributed amongst the Kohanim. Of course, this inheritance field, it was not redeemed by the owner himself. And shortly we'll see, and not redeemed by the son of the owner either. The Gemara. Tana Ravona, we see a framed section, a Tanaic source. Im lo yigal es hasodeh, if the field is not redeemed. That's a reference to Bailim, the owner the one who originally dedicated it did not redeem it. The mochar es hasodeh. Who is that a reference to? If he sold the field, that's the gizbor, the Beis Hamikdash. Leish acher. In other words, if the gizbor, the treasurer of the Beis Hamikdash, is selling it, that basically means it's being redeemed. Someone is coming and buying it from him, from the treasurer, and he is thereby selling it. To whom? Leish acher. That's what the pasuk says, to some other man, other than the original owner. And the pasuk goes on to say, it's then distributed amongst the kohanim when the yovel arrives, so that if someone else redeemed it, other than the owner, when the owner, that redeemer can enjoy it, but until the yovel. When the yovel comes, it's distributed amongst the kohanim. So the pasuk saying, le'ish acher, we read, le'acher velo leben. The word acher means an outsider and not the son. Meaning, if the son of the sanctifier redeems it, it doesn't go to the kohanim, it goes back to the father. Ata oimer le'acher v'lo leben, are you saying that the exception to the rule of kohen distribution is the exception is the son, meaning acher, an outsider, then it does go to kohanim, but not with regard to the son? Oy eino elo li'acher v'lo la'ach. Maybe the exception to the kohen distribution rule is if the brother of the sanctifier redeems it. If the brother redeems it, it would go back to his brother, the original owner. Kishu omer li'ish. When the pasuk uses the word li'ish, hare ach amur, the brother is included in that ish. He is like an outsider, and therefore, if the brother of the sanctifier redeems it, it goes to the kohanim. Ha ma ani mekayim acher. So what is acher a reference to, or what does it exclude? Li'acher v'lo leben. It comes to exclude the son of the original sanctifier. He is the exception to the Kohen distribution rule. At this point in the Gemara, we have a series of triangles that appear in alternating directions. You can see in the Mivneh heading, the outside margin, we have a Ma'akav. The point facing up is called a She'elah. Point facing down is called Tshuva. A point facing up is a question. The flipped over triangle is an answer. The Ma'akav means the attempt to keep track of the back and forth discussion. So at this point in the Gemara, if we think about what we just learned, we have someone who sanctified a field, and the pasuk indicates that in general, if that field is redeemed by someone other than the owner, it will be distributed amongst the kohanim upon the arrival of Yovel, with an exception. When will it not be distributed? So we raised two possibilities. Maybe the exception is if the son... When we say exception, it means other than the owner himself, where that's viewed as obvious, it won't go to the kohanim. But even if someone else redeems it, it also won't go. He's the exception. And who is that? Either the son of the sanctifier or the brother. And we had to make a choice. So the source concluded that the exception is the son. The Gemara asks, Uma rois l'rabos es haben ulahotzi es ha'ach. What is it that made us saw fit to include the son along with the owner himself as the case where it does not go to the kohanim, and to exclude the brother, meaning the brother is not viewed as like the owner himself? Marbe ani haben, we include the son to be like the owner. Shekein kom tachas oviv li'aida ula'evin ivri. The son is viewed as, we'll call it, an extension of the father with regard to two areas of halacha. Ye'ida is an area of law where if a person bought a Jewish maidservant, known as an amo ivriya, this is a girl that one buys for service, for work, that she works for the family that buys her till she is 12, at which point she goes free, she goes back to her family. The Torah has an expectation that one who buys an amo ivriya, that she doesn't really continue working, but he should marry the girl. And if not, then the pasuk makes reference to the son of the one who bought her. The son should marry her. That marriage between a purchaser of amo ivriya and a girl, or son of purchaser is called Yi'od. So the Torah mentions that either the owner or the one who bought the son of the owner is to marry, Mekayim, this mitzvah of Yi'od. So we see son is an extension, so to speak, of the father with regard to the mitzvah of Yi'od. And another halacha where we see son is an extension is a case where a man bought an eved, ivri, a worker who works for 6 years. Let's say the owner who bought this Jewish worker, this we call eved ivri, he bought him and the owner died before the end of the 6 year period. So the halacha is that he continues working for the son, but he doesn't work for anyone else. If, let's say, a man died leaving no sons, but left brothers, who, technically speaking, the brother in that case would be the heir, the Eved Ivri does not continue working for the brother. He will work only for the son. So we see that the son is a type of extension of the father. He's in place of the father with regard to two halachas, Yi'ud and Eved Ivri. The Gemara asks, well, adarabah, to the contrary, mar be'ani esoach shekein kom tachas ochiv li'ibom. We find the brother has a preeminent position when, in the event that a man dies, leaving a widow and no children, it is his brother that's expected to do mitzvahs yibum, the marriage of the widow, which, as far as the Torah is concerned, it's a type of marriage designed to perpetuate the name of the deceased. So we find that the brother has a preeminent position with regard to this area known as yibum. So why is it that we're so sure to choose the son as the extension with regard to the halacha of inheritance field redemption and not the brother? Answer: Klum yesh yibum ela v'mokom she'ein ben. Yibum has a prominence only in the case that there is no son. Ha yesh ben ein yibum. But if there is a son in the picture, there is no mitzvah yibum. In fact, marrying her under those circumstances, marrying a widow in the event that a deceased left a son, if the brother of the deceased would marry her when a child is left, that would be a major offense. It would be a major sin. So if there's a question here of competition between brother of deceased and son of deceased, and we have to choose between one or the other, in fact, under such terms, if it's son versus brother, the brother has nothing. There isn't any yibum to be performed whatsoever. So based on that, we conclude that the son is considered the real extension of the father and not the brother of the brother. The Gemara asks, why do you say that we choose the son based on this logic, that namely that there is no yibum when there's a son? Let us say v'tepukle, learn out that the son has an advantage, d'hocha tarti v'hocha chada. When it comes to the son, there are actually two mitzvahs that we saw the son has an advantage. And when it comes to the brother, there was only one mitzvah. With regard to the son, we saw Yi'ud and Eved Ivri. With regard to the brother, there was only Yibum. So just say 2 versus 1, and that's the reason that the son has the advantage, and that's why the son is considered the extension. The Gemara answers, in truth, it's not really 2 versus 1. Mishum de Eved Ivri, the halacha of Eved Ivri, when a man dies, the Eved that he was in possession of, we said, continues to work for someone. We had to decide, for whom does he continue working? So it's Mehai Pircha Nami Hu Dinafkale. It's from this very point that, namely, that there is, that at the point being, we read on in the Gemara, Klum Yesh Yibum Ela B'Mokom She'ein Ben. It's that very point that there is no mitzvah yibum when there is a ben that enabled us to determine the mitzvah of Eved Ivri itself. In other words, let's go over this point again. Given for a moment that a man dies leaving an Eved Ivri, and we have to decide for whom does the Eved continue working to complete the 6 years. Is it a person's son or the deceased's brother? if that halacha itself is not clear, so then the next step in the logic was to say, well, the son has the advantage of mitzvahs yi'ud. The brother has the advantage of mitzvahs yibum, which is basically one versus one. So as far as numbers are concerned, I don't see which one is more prominent than the other. Then the next stage of the logic is, regarding Eved Ivri, we say, well, if it's son versus brother, the brother really is not in the picture, because when a man leaves a son, the brother doesn't have any mitzvah yibum. So that the son is the only one that would be a candidate for the mitzvah of, for the din of Eved Ivri. So that the original point here that was made in the Gemara, that the son has two mitzvahs, Yi'ud and Eved Ivri, versus the brother who has one, that itself isn't, that's not really an accurate way of looking at things, where, namely two versus one. Because the two that the son has, one of the two was Eved Ivri, but that itself was not a given. That was only an outgrowth of this logic, that the mitzvah of Yibum that the brother has really doesn't exist when you're confronting a son. So that this is really the point breaker in the competition between the brother and the son. This logic of klum yesh yibum elo b'mokom she'ein ben. Continuing in the Gemara, we now notice a new geometric form. A triangle appears, and the triangle, one of our geometric forms, indicates a series, as do all the geometric forms. In the outside margin under our mivneh heading, you see a diamond featured, Sidra Shel She'elois, a series of questions, Be'inyan Pidyon Ste'achuza, questions dealing with the redemption of an inheritance field. This first question in the series we have labeled as with a long question marking. You can see the shin to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating a question that takes up about five lines of Gemara. Boi Rabo Bar Avuha. Bas Mahu Shitamid Sode Leovia. Let's say a man dedicated his inheritance field to the Beis HaMikdash, and the man's daughter comes to redeem it. Would her redemption be the same as as if a son redeemed it? And we said that in such a case, when the Yovel comes, that it would not go to the Kohanim. That's in the case of a son redemption. What about a daughter redemption? The Gemara gives us two sides of this question, and we've labeled them Aleph, Oy Dilma, the next line, a squiggle underline O Dilma, Beis. So do we say, Kevon Dilinian Yibum, since regarding the mitzvah of Yibum, Ben Ubas Kiadodi Patri, not only does a son cause the exemption of mitzvah Yibum, but a man leaving a daughter likewise. If a man dies leaving a daughter, so there is no mitzvah Yibum. So we see son and daughter are equated with regard to that area of law, and therefore Mukmashi would have the same strength as a son redemption, and it would, mukma means establish it and keep it in the family's possession, namely that when Yovel arrives, it would not go to the Kohen, rather would go back to her father. Oy Dilma, Kevon Dilinian Nachlo Bas Mokom Ben Ki Acher Damya, or it could be that when a man dies, leaving a son and a daughter, as far as Torah law is concerned, the daughter does not receive any inheritance. We should mention parenthetically that according to rabbinic law, there are many provisions made for daughters, but as far as letter of the law is concerned, the daughter is not in the line of inheritance when there is a son. She doesn't receive anything. A son overrules a daughter. The daughter is viewed as if she's an outsider with regard to the law of inheritance. Therefore, lo mukma, she's not on the same scale as a son, and she, if she were to redeem the field, she wouldn't establish it in the family's possession. So the question is asked, what's the din regarding a daughter redemption? Toshma, the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, we have a source taught by the school of Rabbi Shmuel, stating, kol shu acher, b'mokom ben, that everyone is considered an outsider and does not maintain it in the family possession when in contrast with a son. In other words, contrasted with a son, everyone is considered an outsider. The ha nami, the daughter as well, b'mokom ben, ki acher damya, when there is a son, she is viewed as an outsider, meaning that if you're comparing anyone to a son, you can't compare anyone to a son. And therefore, if a daughter were to redeem the field, it would not stay in the family's possession, but rather would be distributed amongst the Kohanim. Boy, Rebbe Zera. We mentioned the diamond before is indicative of a series of questions regarding redemption of Stei Achuza. So Rebbe Zera asks, Isha, mi ma'amid lo sode? A woman who had dedicated a field that she, let us say, brought into a marriage. A woman received, let us say, as Rashi says, she hikdisha stei melug. Stei melug is a field that a woman, when she gets married, a woman, if let us say she owned a field, and it had a din of a stei achuza, and she sanctified the field that she had brought into a marriage, whose redemption could have the effect that it won't be distributed amongst the Kohanim upon the arrival of the Ovel. Rashi says, Isha, shikdisha stei melug, mi yifteno miyad hekdish, shelo teitzi l'konam biyovel, im hi eino yicholo livdoso. If for some reason she can't redeem the field, is there a possibility that someone else's redemption would also keep it from going to the Kohanim, from being distributed to the Kohanim upon the arrival of the Ovel? The Gemara. Isha, mi ma'amid lo sodeh. Whose redemption could maintain the field for her and not go to the Kohanim upon the arrival of Yovel? Do we say, and here there are two sides of this, Baal mokim lo shekein yorsha, maybe if the husband were to redeem the field, it would go back to the woman upon Yovel because the husband has a unique strength that he inherits the wife. If a woman dies, the Torah makes a provision for the husband being the sole heir. Oy Dilma, or possibly Ben Moikim Law, the son of this woman, would establish the field upon his redeeming it for the woman. Upon his redeeming it, it would be established for the woman, namely upon the Ovel year, it would go to the mother and not to the Kohanim. Why the son? Shekein noitel beroi kibamuchsok. In the event that a woman dies and doesn't have a husband upon her death, her son will inherit her. Not only that, but her son inherits lands that the mother was not in actual possession of, but rather outstanding fields that were fit for her to receive. An example of that might be if a woman died leaving her father. In other words, she died before her father. So the son, which is the grandson in this case, upon the death of the grandfather, the son will take over the position of his mother, and just like his mother, had she been alive, would have inherited from her father, the son inherits in her place. So that's a concept known as the son inheriting beroi. Beroi means properties fit for the mother, but she was not in actual possession of. Now that halacha does not apply to a husband that inherits his wife. If a man's wife died while her father was still alive, and we're talking now about a son-in-law, so this husband will inherit those properties that his wife was in actual possession of, and not these future-type properties, these outstanding or future or anticipated properties. So we see that the son has a feature that the husband does not have. So in a question of son versus husband, whose redemption would have a greater significance? Teku, this remains unresolved. Bomine Rami Bar Chama Mirav Chista. Rami Bar Chama asks of Rav Chista, Hikdisha Pachos Mishtei Shonim Lifnei Hayovel. Let us say a person sanctified a field less than 2 years before the next Yovel. And we know from previous sugyas that we've learned, from previous sections of Gemara, we know that a redemption under those circumstances will be without the subtraction factor, and rather he'll have to pay a full 50 selah for the redemption of the field. That having been said, a redemption of a field that was sanctified within 2 years. It was sanctified within 2 years of the upcoming Yovel. Mao shetetze lekohanim. Does it go to the Kohanim? Well, that's the question. You might ask yourself, well, what's the basis of the question? Why would you think otherwise? Rav Chisda now responds. You'll see we have a long answer marking, the tuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. Omar Lei, Rav Chisda says to Rami Bar Chamo, he says, my daitoch, what's your havamina? What's your thinking here that you should, that what's the basis of thinking that it would not go to the Kohanim? So we have a singular quotation marks that takes in about three lines of Gemara. Basically, the reason for this marking is to show that this is all what you were thinking. But after that stated, Rav Chisda will continue speaking and say, well, to the contrary. And that at that point, we have the main point of his answer. But all of this is part of Rav Chisda's answer, his response. He says to Rami, what are you thinking? V'nigra me'erkecha v'hoya hasada b'tzeisa b'yovel. In Pasuk Yud Ches, there is a reference to the subtraction formula. In Pasuk Chaf Aleph, there is a reference to the distribution amongst the Kohanim. So if you are looking at this section of Psukim from Pasuk Yud Ches through Pasuk Chaf Aleph as a singular unit, and then come to the conclusion, the Baskiron in, that the distribution to Kohanim applies to a Baskiron, means a field to which we apply the subtraction formula. The Lav Baskiron Lo, a field to which you don't apply the subtraction formula, namely a field sanctified within 2 years of the upcoming Yovel, we don't apply the subtraction formula. Therefore, it does not go to the Kohanim because it doesn't fit into the scheme presented in these psukim. Adarabba, to the contrary, in pasuk chof it says im lo yigal es hasodeh v'hoya hasodeh b'tzeisa b'yovel. Pasuk chof indicates if the field is not redeemed, then it goes to the kohanim. The pasuk chof is saying is talking about the potential of redemption. Well, v'hai nami, this case of pochos mishtei shonim is a bas gula. It is subject to redemption. True, it's a different rate of redemption, but nevertheless, it is subject to redemption. And therefore, being that it's a bas gula, it is also capable, or it is also designed to be distributed amongst the kohanim. And that being said, that therefore, as far as your question is concerned, if a field was sanctified within 2 years before the Yovel, and some outsider other than the owner or his son came to redeem it, it would be distributed upon the arrival of that Yovel to the Kohanim. Goalo Echod Min HaKohanim. Tonu Rabbonu. We have a Tanaic source. The Pasuk says, regarding this topic of one of the Kohanim being the Redeemer. The Mishnah had told us if a Kohen redeems it, he cannot keep it for himself upon the arrival of the Yovel year, arguing that it's distributed anyway amongst Kohanim. Ton Rabbonan, La Kohen Tie Achuzosoi. Ma Talmud Lomar. What are we learning from this Pasuk? Minayin L'sode Shiyotzi L'Kohanim B'Yovel. From where do I know that where the owner sanctified a field and did not redeem it, that's a sode, that's yoytze l'kehanim, meaning it's a field that appears to be destined to go to the kehanim because the owner has not redeemed it. V'goalo echad mina kehanim, and one of the kehanim redeemed it from the gizbar, from the Beis Hamikdash fund. Minayin, from where do I know Sheloy Yoimar, that he shall not say the following three lines? We have singular quotation marks indicating what he should not say. He should not say Hoyol v'yoytze l'kayin are tachas yodi uteishali. Since when Yovel comes, fields that are not redeemed or were redeemed by outsiders would go to the Kohanim. And lo and behold, well, I am a Kohen and I'm holding on to it right now. And therefore, v'tehei shali, it should remain mine. V'din hu, and furthermore, there is the following logic. B'shel achirim ani zocheh, I would, as a kohen, be able, would acquire other people's fields. B'shel atzmi lo kol shekein, therefore, that which I'm already holding on to, certainly I should be able to continue owning. Talmud lomar achuzosoi. The Torah also uses the word achuzoso. Achuzo shaloi, v'ein ze shaloi. When we speak about a kohen holding on to a field, that's only a reference to a field that the kohen inherited from his father, an inheritance field that the kohen is holding on to. But this is not an inheritance field. Ha-ketzad, so what does happen? Yoytze mitachas yodoi u'mischalekes le'echov ha-kohanim. This field that the kohen happened to redeem from the Beis HaMikdash, upon the arrival of the Yovel here, it leaves his possession and is distributed amongst the other Kohanim. The Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, we glance at the outside margin under the Nosei heading. We have written Gimel Shitas Tanoim, three Tanaic opinions. Behigia Yovel Velo Nigala, Yovel year arrives and it has not yet been redeemed. Ma din hasode legabi yitzia lekehanim. What in fact happens to fields that were sanctified and not redeemed, and what's the next stage with regard to the distribution amongst the Kohanim? Now, up till now, we've been speaking in certain matter-of-fact terms that a non-redeemed field, non-redeemed inheritance field, is distributed amongst the Kohanim. Here the Mishnah details this point. Higia Yovel, v'lo nigalo, the Mishnah says. Yovel came and the field that was sanctified was not redeemed. First opinion says, HaKohanim nichnosim l'soicha v'noisin es domeho, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The Kohanim do take possession of that field, but they have to pay money for it. Reb Shimon Omer nichnasim velo nosnim. Reb Shimon says they enter it free. They don't pay money. Reb Elozer Omer lo nichnasim velo nosnim. Reb Elozer is a surprising opinion. He says the Kohanim don't enter the field, and they don't pay money. Elo nikres sada retushin ad hayovel hasheni. It's called by this term sada retushin. Until the next Yovel. In other words, the field continues in the possession of the Beis HaMikdash. Higia Yovel HaSheni Velo Nigala. If the field continues in the possession of Beis HaMikdash and it had not been redeemed, Nikres Retushei Retushin Ad HaYovel HaShlishi, until the next Yovel. It's considered like a type of abandoned field that's in the Rishus of the Mikdash. Kohanim do not take possession of fields ad shigoleno acher, until someone else were to redeem it. So this whole concept of Kohen possession of field kicks in only if a redemption process had taken place. Had it been not redeemed, so it remains in the Rishus of Hegdish, called Resada Retusha, an abandoned field, so to speak, until someone comes to redeem it. My time of Rabbi Yehuda, what is the basis of Rabbi Yehuda, who said that Kohanim gain possession, but they have to pay money for it? Gomar Kodesh Kodesh Mimakdish Bayis. There is a word comparison between the case of Stei Achuza and someone who sanctifies a house. The pasuk says, Ki yakdish es beiso koidesh. Ma lahalon bedomim, af kan bedomim. Just like a house does not leave the possession of the Beis HaMikdash unless it's redeemed, with regard to a dedication of a house, there is no halacha whatsoever of distribution amongst Kohanim. The only way to get a house that was sanctified out of the domain of Hekdesh would have to be through a cash payment. So just like houses do not leave Hekdesh unless there's a cash payment, so too with regard to Stei Achuza, when it leaves the Rishus of Hekdesh to the Kohanim, there must be a cash payment. Reb Shimon, who says no payment made by the Kohanim, Gomar Kodesh Kodesh, he also has a word comparison using the same words, Mikivsei Atzeres. Kodesh Kodesh compared to the sheep brought on Shavuos. Two sheep are brought on the holiday of Shavuos, and they are slaughtered and distributed to the Kohanim. There is no money payment made. Ma lahalon bechinam, just like it arrives at the Kohen, the sheep portion, a Kohen receives without any payment. Af kan, so too with regard to the stei achuza bechinam. So too, the stei achuza is given to the Kohanim without their having to pay anything. The Gemara asks, Rabbi Yehuda nami nalif mikivsei atzeres. Rabbi Yehuda, who spoke about payment, why does he not learn from the kivsei atzeres and conclude Kohanim receive it without paying? Answer, donin kodshe berek habayis mikodshe berek habayis. We want to compare like examples. Stei achuza, when dedicated, goes to the temple repair fund. House, when dedicated, also goes to berek habayis, temple repair fund. And hence I compare the dinim of stei achuza from the dinim of makdish bayis. The ain donin kodshe berek habayis, I'm not going to learn the realm of kodshe berek habayis, in this case, stei achuza, mi kodshe mizbech, from a totally different realm, the realm of things sanctified for slaughter at the mizbeach, like the kivsei atzeres. Ah, Rabbi Shimon, nami neilav mi makdish bayis. Well, now, turning back to Rabbi Shimon, why does he not learn from makdish bayis, and the result would be that there should be payment made by the Kohanim when they receive the stei achuza? Answer, Donin davar shematana lekayin mi davar shematana lekayin. I prefer to learn the dinim of stei achuza, which is something that the Torah provides for the Kohanim, a gift to the Kohanim, a gift meaning something given to the Kohanim or received by the Kohanim, from another topic where the Kohanim are provided for, namely the kivsei atzeres. The Kohanim eat from that. The ain donin davar shematana lekayin. I'm not going to learn stei achuza, which the Torah provides for the Kohanim, mi davar sheino matana lekayin, from the case of a sanctified house. As we mentioned before, a house that's sanctified, there's no provision made for the Kohanim. They don't receive it at all. Therefore, I'm not going to learn from that, being that it's such an unsimilar case to the issue of stei achuza. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.